look, episode 25.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. We have a special guest. I'm really excited. But before we get into the podcast, mm-hmm. we got to talk about our first ever paid sponsor.
First ever paid sponsor. If you can remember right, I remember talking on the first episode, we said that Manscaped.
That Manscaped.
Was going to be our number one, our first.
Our first.
Paid sponsor. And here we are, 25 episodes later. And guess who's our first paid sponsor?
Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com and you can type in manscaped.com/dads who.
Yeah, why is it dads who?
We're at episode 25, okay? We're not quite there for it to be dads who try. So manscaped.com/dads who, and we have a little discount code for you to grab some of their products. And look, I'm not going to lie, okay? Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
We're dads who try.
We are.
We've already found our chosen mates.
We okay? have.
They're called wives. And I think a huge issue in 2022 is that men stop taking care of themselves once they get married, once they have kids.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing, right? They gain weight. God knows I've gained weight. You know,
I'm pretty sure I put on a good 10.
I've put on a good 70. It's fine. But I think that Manscaped is a really cool opportunity for products and tools to help you impress your wife and make sure that they know that you're intentional about presenting yourself in a way that you care about them and that you still are putting that relationship first. And so I think it's important.
Yeah, you don't have to go into the rest of your life after you get married, you know, not maintaining yourself. And what I love about what's happening here is that they have given us tools and resources to actually take care of ourselves. Yes. We don't have to be animals, people. And so we just got in this in the mail, the Lawnmower 4.0.
Yeah, okay. And let me talk about this. Okay, yeah, Tommy.
Talk to me about this.
When I was in college, a few friends and I, we started a landscaping business, okay?
Yep.
We did weeds and all that stuff, and we mowed lawns. I'm telling you, this Lawnmower 4.0, we could have given up our actual lawnmower and we could have trimmed everything with this, okay? This thing is all time. It's waterproof. It's all the things. It's easy to clean. And I'm not going to lie. Maybe you're looking at me right now, Tommy, and you can tell that my face looks nice and clean because this is a trimmer for your whole body, okay?
Yeah, that's it.
For the weeded areas, if you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, come on.
Or maybe you're talking more about the upper facial, it works everywhere. Okay?
Yeah, upper, lower, back, front, whatever, wherever it grows, this tool has got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. They also have this deodorant. Okay? I used to think that you only need a deodorant for your underarms, but that's not the only pit on your body. I'm telling you, head over manscaped.com/dadswho. Grab some discount codes. If you aren't already part of their subscription, jump in. You're going to love it, and so will your significant other.
You guys, don't miss out on this opportunity to feel your best, feel fresh, and save money.
All right, episode 25 of Dads Who Try. Let's get it popping.
Yo.
Hey, that's just Dads Who Try, dog. That's just Dads Who Try. Tino sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.
Hey, welcome to our 25th episode.
It feels like it's an anniversary.
It is. Tommy,
happy 25th anniversary.
We're a quarter of a century into this podcast.
Yeah, man. So many nights of just thinking, man. It feels like it's...
a lot of nights of thinking.
Lots of creativity, man, just flowing into these episodes.
Absolutely. You know, Tommy, we had episode 23, our Jordan episode.
Yep.
Episode 24, our Kobe episode. Episode 25,
our Ryan episode.
Ryan Cross episode. Crossover. It's a crossover.
It's crazy.
Because we have Ryan Cross joining us here this morning.
Number 25 was my number when I played basketball in the seventh grade.
Stop.
Let's go.
I made it to game one.
Wow.
Then my parents let me quit.
Yes. You got a ribbon.
Because I begged.
Please
cried.
Let me stop.
Well, you played one game.
I played one game. I made it to one game.
Hold on. Caveat. For those of you who are not with us here in the studio, which is all of you, it's just
a studio. That's a generous word.
Hey, you're not going to step into this studio and start calling this thing out. All right?
Yeah, I apologize to the studio.
We've named our studio the garage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Convenient.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Leave it there. That's convenient.
You guys, Ryan Cross is sitting here, and this man is 6 foot six, maybe 6 foot seven.
On a good day.
How tall are you?
6'3" if I stand up straight, but I never do. Joke's on you.
6'3".
Isn't it crazy that the older you get, like what age do you start to shrink? You know what I mean?
Wait, in height?
Yeah, and everything. Stature, height. Yeah, it's like, you know, you're a little baby in... you grow, and then you hit a certain point where it's like all of a sudden you start to hunch over more. Tommy was telling me he has crickety knees this morning.
Dude, I really do.
Oh, the symphony of sound. Whenever you get up from the bed or like do anything is insane. It's concerning.
Yeah.
Tommy.
I would say, dude, my knees are gone. My back is gone. I'm 32 going to my 33rd year.
Like
I'm convinced, I feel like I'm gone.
You know, on the NFL, they mic these guys up so you can like listen to them during the game and like hear what they have to say. Like, I just want to get mic'd up for one day so I can go back and listen to
all the grunt.
Yeah, when I stand up from a chair.
And then upload it as an ASMR podcast.
Great. Episode 26 coming your way. Just naming like it runs.
33-year-old man makes it through the day is the name of the podcast.
I'm also convinced the older you get, the more time you spend in the bathroom, not going to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's the only place to find peace.
It really is true. And it's where I feel the most disrespected if it gets, like, if yeah, Leah comes into the bathroom and she knocks on the door earlier than what I need her to come in, I'm like, stop disrespecting me. This is my alone time.
Yeah, and in LA, we all share one bathroom. Exactly. Sometimes, and yes. One bedroom. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Your whole family will come in. Your wife holding your one-year-old and your six-year-old.
Yes.
And you're sitting on the toilet.
Dude.
It's all
this
happening.
This is too real. This is fatherhood, crazy. You guys. This is fatherhood.
All happening.
I'm taking a dump.
Nice.
My pants around my ankles.
Yeah.
Both boys walk into the bathroom.
Oh, yes.
Somehow. I thought I locked the door. Apparently, I didn't. They're just... One's... walks up and just puts their, you know, hand on my knee or something. Hey, Dad, what's for dinner? I'm like, dude, I'm taking a dump, bro.
What's insane is, I mean, my wife's name is Joy. Her ability to have such a deep and meaningful conversation while I am mid-wipe. I'm like, this is my most vulnerable state.
Yes.
I've never been more vulnerable than I am right now. And you are willing to talk about... like the most intimate, beautiful thing right now. Like what what the divine deity is doing in your life while I'm mid-wipe. It you doesn't concern her.
Yeah. It's because they know they got us trapped. They know.
Yes, it's true.
It's the place.
Can't Dude, go anywhere.
I'm still kind of weirded out right now. Like I'm not in that comfortable state yet where, you know, young LJ will, like, roll into the bathroom and, you know, I'm either, like, the other day I was showering, you know, right after the gym. And apparently I didn't lock the door either. And so I hear the yellow footsteps coming in. I'm like, oh, shoot. He's
in here.
And he just follows sound. And so you could be anywhere around the house. If you hear something, he'll kind of go towards it.
Curious.
And so, dude, the curtain's obviously shut. And then so I hear these little footsteps come into the shower and he just speaks his little head around the curtain. And he looks up at me and he's like laughing. Like,
what's happening?
And I'm like, dude, get out of here. Get out of here, man.
Wait, okay. This brings up two things. One is a amazing story that I'll tell. And the second is, well, what age do you stop letting your children see you naked? What age does it become awkward? Because it has not yet become awkward in my household. And I've already told you my children's ages. So that could weird someone out, but it kind of just hasn't, we haven't gotten there yet.
Look, it's 2024. Like, no, it's not.
but I believed you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't want my 6-year-old to see my wife naked, but I also don't care if he sees me naked. Is that weird? It's like a, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
it's not weird, but at the same time, I'm like, if this kid's 10 years old and
yeah,
dude, walking in on me on the shower, I'm like, I'm about to dude in the face, bro.
Dude, I'm
double
not
digits might.
Yeah,
but then you get into the realm of, you know, you're if you do sports, you're in a gym.
Yeah, exactly. Locker room, so, totally.
Yeah, so
that's where my mind goes. It's like, you know, do we make this thing super weird and awkward and pretend like no one has private parts? And then all of a sudden you go into a locker room and this kid's like freaking out and has a panic attack because freaking Greg, who's gone through puberty 5 years too early, is, you know.
Dude, I remember like 14, being dropped off at the YMCA playing basketball with all my friends on a Friday night. Like, we would have these overnighters at the Y. But they would start at like at 6. So, you know, it was open to the public still. For a handful of hours prior to that. And I remember there was like these older guys in the locker room, and I'm like, they're walking around and they're done showering, and it's like, oh God, like Grandpa Bill is coming out and no towel on. And you're like, what the crap is going on? I'm only 14. I don't know if I'm supposed to see that.
Well, also what's insane is at what age does your body start shrinking? I'm going to move on quickly. So people don't start thinking that I'm going to say something weird. At what age is your level of comfortability with being nude just astronomical? Because old men are the most comfortable being naked,
the
and
most
they should
confident.
be the least comfortable.
No. Listen, children and old men have the same boundaries. They don't care what anyone thinks. They just do their thing.
Yeah.
That could be it.
Look, the other day, this will sound bad. The other day, our now 3-year-old walks outside. And he's butt naked. And I'm like, why? What are you doing walking outside butt naked? He has no care in the world.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Grandpa Greg.
Oh, for God.
89 years old. Same thing. Walked outside. I'm just kidding.
Grabbing the newspaper. What?
Yeah, this is getting weird.
One's a predator and the other is innocent.
Yeah.
I don't know when the time is, but I think that you know.
Yeah, I think you know. I think you can...
Your kids start asking certain things, then it's like, okay, maybe it's time to
put a towel on.
Mm-hmm. I've talked to some people. They said as soon as my kids ask anything, as soon as they can talk, we cover it up.
Yeah, I think
smart.
It depends on the child, and then it depends on like their level of awkwardness. You can sense it, but also I do appreciate the opportunity to make it not a weird thing. Like, it's your private parts are private. They're special. They're for you and for whoever you decide to, when you're adult, share them with. But it's not this dirty, nasty thing. It's not like something to be afraid of.
Did you guys grow up with parents who taught you that?
No.
My mom was opposite. My mom was like, you know, if you want condoms, I'll go buy them for you. She was very open, you know. Not like with being nude around the house, but like, you know, sex ed came and I wasn't surprised by anything because any questions I had, my mom would be like, yeah, let me answer this for you. You know, it's like she diffused a lot of the, what's it called? Like the mystery of it. And that, but also with drinking, with drugs, you know, if I ever had questions, she wouldn't be like, you know, that's the devil's lettuce. You know, she just made it, you know, she's like, if you want to smoke weed, then let's roll one together, you know, let's roll a blunt together. You know, it's like, you know, and I never did that because I didn't want to do it with my mom.
Oh, devil's lettuce as in weed. I thought you were referring to some anatomy. And I was like trying to.
Dear God.
I was thinking, what would be.
Chest hair.
Yeah, like, bro, if it looks like a head of lettuce, then we might need to. There's a bigger issue going on.
You guys, we're going to have to put an E in front of this one.
Okay, so that was the first part of that. Second part.
Story.
Yes, I definitely am. My child is going to deep psychological treatment after what has been done to him. So, unfortunately, the bathroom door in our apartment doesn't lock. It's a very, very old building. It doesn't lock. And I was cleaning the shower, and I don't know how you clean the shower, but I clean the shower while I'm about to take a shower. So like I'll spray it all down.
It's a hack.
I'll get clean it and then I'll just shower. So I'm obviously in the nude, is showering. So I'm cleaning the shower.
Yep.
And you have to like sometimes get into some weird, my shower is also a 1-inch by 1-inch.
Yeah, you gotta bend square. Over. You gotta.
Yes, you're bending over weird ways. You're really getting the grime out of like the floor. No. So I'm going for it. Like I am cleaning this shower. I'm all up in these tiles.
Mr. Clean.
Yeah. And all of a sudden I hear the door open and I am in the worst possible posture to be in, by anyone. I would not let a doctor see me in this position. And in comes my 6-year-old. What he sees is what he sees, and he'll never not see it. But I've never prayed more frequently and with more passion than I did after that. Just God, take it away. Take away the memory. Take it away.
Yes.
Because, I should just start apologizing now.
Those are those prayers, the same prayers when you think your life's going to be over. God, I'll do anything for you. If you just do this one thing, I'll serve you for the rest of my life.
Just make him forget. Make him forget.
Oh, man.
You guys, I don't know if we want to take this podcast in this direction, but I'm going to do it. Because I'm not sure. I'm sure I'm one Google away, one physician checkup away. But, like, when do you start going for your prostate exam?
Dude, I don't know.
I have no clue. 40?
50?
See, this concerns me, boys.
What if it's now? Clue. It's not now.
We have a friend who's 35, Balaam. We should ask him.
Dude, why? You can't just say his name on this thing, dude.
Hey, I think episode 27, though.
We should get him on.
We're going to be doing a live episode.
A live prostate.
Live from the golf course. We're going to be mic'd up on the golf course with Balaam for episode 27.
We will. That's going to be very, very exciting. I can't wait.
I'm horrible at golf.
Who cares?
Yeah, I think it'll be fun.
Yeah.
We might have to add some beeps to the, swearing.
Brick!
Yeah.
And then maybe episode 28, live prostate exams.
Nice.
That's for the YouTube.
Oh, God.
Which, by the way, will have explicit content if you're following that.
Explicit? No, exclusive.
No, we want explicit.
Oh gosh, Tom! Look, this is how our sponsors drop us. Like, what sponsors?
Maybe you could get a sponsor, a doctor, to sponsor you to come in and do your exam.
Boom!
You get a free exam, and your audience gets some awareness. Finally, we get to talk about it. Finally, bring some awareness.
Yes.
To the clearly, prostates.
There's.
Yeah.
Is it prostate?
Let them
or
be
is
heard.
It, is it prostate?
Let them be seen. Let them be heard. That's the slogan.
Let them be heard. It's called a fart, bro.
Listen, my son has seen mine. That's all I have to say.
Bro, but I'll tell you what, though.
Unfortunately.
Like, just to go back onto all this stuff, it's like, for some odd reason, like, I don't know if it was a culture thing or if it was, like, the way that we were raised. No one ever taught me that in my own family.
Prostate exams?
No. Oh. Just like the talks. All
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. You know, like, I don't know if they were, like, afraid yes. to. I don't know if there was this kind of, like, this, hey, where life is already going too fast for us to, like, really care about this kind of stuff. I don't know what it is, but the first time I ever would say, like, I was communicate to all this stuff was in school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, totally. I think a lot of this stuff I learned on the playground and then brought it to my mom and was like, hey, what the heck are they talking about?
Yeah.
You know?
But it's... it makes me reflect on how I want to raise my boys, you know, these days. It's like, I don't know if I want them to be able to hear it from other people first.
No.
And we should be able to jump the gun and really get ahead of this stuff.
Matter of fact, our parents' generation, the attitude towards stuff was, if we don't talk about it, it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why the divorce rate went through the roof. That's why bankruptcy went through the roof in America. It's our credit card debt skyrocketed. That's why obesity skyrocketed, because it's like, if we don't talk about it, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you hit critical mass. Literally, I'm almost at critical mass, you guys. I weigh more than I've ever weighed in my life. God. Lord, I need you.
But yes, don't talk about Harry Potter, then Harry Potter doesn't exist.
Yeah.
That was the household that I grew up in. but I do agree. I do agree that, unfortunately, I think now it means that if you want to be the first to, if you want your child to hear it first from you, you have to talk about it at an earlier age than you ever would have.
In the history of the world.
But
yeah.
I still think that it's that it's paramount that you are defining and deciding what they hear first. Because unfortunately, I think it's just like psychology. What you hear first about something is you will find it significantly more difficult to believe something else if that's what you've heard first. So
it's first market. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get there first. And unfortunately, but then the responsibility is, how do I talk about this to my child in a way that's not stealing innocence that I don't need to, right? Because I think there is a way to talk about all these things at an early age where you're not then having to force your child to grow up quicker than they need to. But then it's harder because you have to go and do the research, have better conversations with people to figure out, okay, well, then how do I talk about this
to a
kindergartner when before it was a fourth grader, fifth grader?
Literally now it's this year. Now it's next year.
Yeah.
You know, my kid's in kindergarten. And we've talked about it on the podcast before. Every day I ask him, hey, so are people using potty talk on the playground? You know?
Yeah.
I might have told you this story. One day he comes back, he's like, I heard him. They said some bad things, Dad. He was like, I can't tell you. And I'm like, dude, what'd they say?
Yeah.
And he's like, they used potty talk. It was really bad. I'm like, hey, it's okay. You're not going to be in trouble. I'm not going to tell their parents. Or, you know, I'm trying to like
pull out
tell them, like, hey, you could trust me. And he's like, all right. They said poop and pee. I'm like, oh, it was actual potty talk.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Every day I ask Sebastian how many times he went to the bathroom, who he went to the bathroom with, and if anything weird happened every single day.
Wow.
Because
what a great set of questions.
Because the weirdest things, if they're going to happen, they're going to happen in the bathroom at school. There's no parents around.
Maybe just got in trouble.
In a bathroom setting. That's cool.
He was throwing toilet paper at kids in the bathroom.
Listen, that's the least of my concerns.
Kind
of
proud.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm like, coming from a history of had weird things happen to me in public school bathrooms, just or seen weird things at camp, things that are just like, this is strange. It's not what I would want my child to ever experience. Yeah, I ask him every single day.
That's too much, bro. It's like,
but it's real.
It is real. And there's so much information and so much access that you can get to these days. And I don't know what's healthy and what's not anymore, to be honest. We know what's not healthy.
Yes.
But it's scary that it's just too easy to get stuff. And I don't know if that will ever change. Do you think it will ever change?
No. It's only going to get probably more intense as it's becoming more acceptable to have varying beliefs and approaches on subjects.
Yeah.
Which,
and I think accessibility, right? Yeah. Like before, you know, let's take a look at something like pornography, right? The first time I looked at pornography, I was 9 years old. I had to go to a friend's house, and he's like, dude, check out what's underneath my dad's mattress. You know, and it was like magazines, right? It's like now today, literally, I have to be careful with which YouTube videos my kids are watching because something like pornographic is going to pop up, you know? And it's going to be a Victoria's Secret ad, or it's going to be, this is not my algorithm. This is my five-year-old's algorithm. Wait a second.
Some anime
this
stuff.
This is Baby Shark.
Yeah, I mean, but honestly, it's like,
click on Lady Shark.
Baby like, Shark after hours.
Nice.
Sorry. That brings us to our next scenario. Next topic. Do you think our children, I grew up in every class I was ever in, right, in elementary school, because elementary, we didn't have, like, multiple periods or anything. It was just, like, one class, you know? But everyone I had from first to sixth grade had like a whale girl or a horse girl. You know what I'm talking about?
A whale girl? Like a large girl?
Dear God, no. Like a girl who was obsessed with marine biology. She had like holographic dolphins on her binders and stuff. Jeez, Ryan.
I was like, that is the meanest thing.
Thank you. I
knew what horse girl was. I grew up in Texas, so yes.
If they're horse all girls. Horse girls.
They're all horse girls.
I grew up
girls.
In Washington.
They're whale girls.
It's going to be like... Oh, I love dolphins and whales and orcas. And
stuff. Yeah, I grew up in Michigan, and there was like lake girls. It makes no sense to anything we're talking about, but you guys get it.
Buffalo girls.
Yo, shout out to all.
Shout out to all the lake girls.
That's incredible.
Yo, I'm convinced. You guys, the other day, you guys know what peaches are?
Peaches?
Peaches. Like the folders. Like peachy folders.
Like I got my peaches down in Georgia.
I got my peaches down.
I hate you guys. Oh, my God.
Okay, no. Nice. But what's amazing is Sebi's class, they upload photos of the classroom. Yeah. And so I was looking through them the other day, and at Sebi's table, it's him and two kids. One of them is his good friend, and the other is this girl. By looking at her, I can tell she's a horse girl. Hmm. And by his description of her, I can tell she's a horse girl. Now, he's not able to identify what that is or what that means, but I know in the back of my mind, just by one photo, by some unbrushed hair atop her head, I can tell she's a horse girl.
Yeah.
Now, and so I've told Sebi, because he's kind of told us, like, she's weird, I don't want to be her friend. And I'm like, Sebi, you don't have to be her friend, but that doesn't mean that you get to be unkind to her.
Right.
You don't have to, like, hang out with her. You don't have to, like, say she's your friend, because I don't want to devalue the concept of friend, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're if all your
everyone's
friends.
Everyone's your friend, then that means no one's your friend.
And then that means that anyone can treat you any way, and then you're like, wait, your friends treat, like, is that how friends treat me? Is that okay friend? So you don't have to be her friend, but you don't have, you can't be unkind to her. But she definitely has, maybe not is a horse girl.
Horse girl
tendencies, and if left unchecked, would become a horse girl by the time she's in third grade.
Okay, and I'll lean into that a little bit. When we say horse girl, maybe some of you guys are like, "What in the world are we talking about?" These are the people, and they're not always girls.
That's true.
I was like an army boy, you know. I was always like drawing tanks and stuff, and got in trouble.
Tank tops.
Well, that's you, Ryan. That was you. No, you were drawing the tank tops.
I don't draw them. I wear them.
Sweater vests without sleeves don't count as tank tops.
Of sorts. Adjacent.
Oh, man. I remember for like show and tell, they'd always bring their horses and they'd brush their hair.
I'm married to a horse girl.
Wow.
So don't act like they're not like the scourge of society.
Mm.
I married one. And she's incredible, obviously. My Canadian. Favorite person in the world. Say again?
Canadian.
She's a Canadian horse girl, which unfortunately...
I feel like also... Never mind. Yeah.
All Canadian females have more horse girl... have a higher level of horse girl percentage than any other country.
That's literally what I was going to say.
Yeah. They're just kind of born with it.
Yeah.
Dude, there's... I want to make sure I say this right.
I want to make sure you say it wrong. So say it quickly, please.
I could never in any lifetime see myself as a horse boy.
Okay, I'm dead serious about this. I'm not afraid of a lot in life. I'm actually terrified of horses.
It is, listen, when
getting wrecked by one of those things that kicks you one time, you're gone.
I can only see one eye at a time. That's terrifying.
We were in Canada this summer, and we were at a beach, and we saw this horse completely wreck the girl that was riding it. It bucked her off. It hit her with her head, with its head.
No.
And then it just ran off, and she was like, she got up and ran after it.
What?
Like, you've just been assaulted by this Clydesdale. Like, let it go. But I'm just saying, and this is coming from trauma as a child, which I'll tell the story of the origin of the trauma in a second. But I think it is very unnatural to ride a horse. That horse does not want to be ridden. No, get off of it. It does not want to be
ridden. I feel like that statement kind of flies in the face of human history, human horse history.
Have you ever asked?
I'm terrified.
Exactly. And you don't speak horse, which is, you know.
Well.
In 2022, to not speak a little horse is kind of. I find it a weird concept. I'm uncomfortable with it. And when I was in the sixth grade, I was so obese that at summer camp, they couldn't find a horse that could sustain and support my weight. And so I was unable to ride a horse. And I think that really is the origin of my prejudice against the whole horse riding concept.
The community.
It's real. Yeah, I sat on the horse. The horse started to buckle under my weight, and they said, oh, sorry, buddy. We'll get you to walk with the horse.
The back legs were kind of like
you know. Shaken.
And that's a true story.
What's the largest animal you've ever ridden? Horse for you, Ryan?
I wasn't able to.
A bear.
You rode a bear.
Crazy, in fifth grade.
Nice.
You did not ride a bear.
I did not. Yeah. Could you imagine?
It's your furry best friend. Your hairy not best friend.
Dude, I'm...
You guys, I rode
fifth
an elephant.
Fifth grader rides...
You rode an elephant?
Yes, mm-hmm. I've actually... In Thailand.
I rode an elephant in Washington.
Wow.
At the Point to Find
in
Zoo.
In the States?
Yeah.
Isn't really?
Crazy. Well, one time I was in Indonesia, and I went to the zoo there.
Yeah.
And it was equally just incredible and equally, you know, terrifyingly sad.
Dude.
Yes. I'm like, dude, there's 10 elephants right here behind a fence that is not as tall as me.
Yeah.
And when we went up and I just touched its face.
Yeah.
And I could feel its sorrow.
It's very Eat, Pray, Love.
Dude. And then I gave it a banana peel on.
Well,
and it just ate it still, the whole thing.
Of course.
Bro, I was like, I think like 10 some years ago, we were on a mission trip in Thailand and we had a free day. And of course, you know, we did one of the activities that you can do over there, and we're on this elephant, and there's a picture of me floating out there somewhere where I'm like in some Ray-Ban glasses, a backwards hat, and a tank top that says, I love Thailand. No, I love Bangkok.
Not real. Not real.
On an elephant with my buddy on the back.
I need this photo.
Like pointing at the camera like, yeah. Like, dude. I got to find that photo, and I got to show you guys because it's iconic,
oh
but
gosh.
The biggest animal that I've ever ridden is an elephant for sure.
Yeah, yeah, so
I would never. I would never ride an elephant.
No, because, see, Ryan, the problem with you is if you rode elephant, you would feel how powerful it is, and you would never stop riding an elephant.
I'm uncomfortable with the entire premise that you just put before me.
Yeah, the power goes straight to your head, and
well,
you would not be able to drive.
To my head, through my prostate.
I hope that's not anyone's process ever.
That's called a full circle comment.
Nice.
Circle.
Hold on.
I don't know how these things tend to go, but no one is finding any parenting value in anything.
You know what's
said.
Fascinating is, you know, when you're like in anatomy or whatever, and they're like, if you were to stretch out all of your nerves in your whole body,
make it to the moon and back.
Make it to the moon and back. I'm like, who measured this stuff?
I don't believe it.
Really, that much? Jeez.
Tommy, it's like a flat earther. Don't believe it.
Don't believe it.
I don't believe it. It's not round. I don't believe it.
Something.
The Earth is flat. Just so we're all on the same page.
No, Ryan.
Dude, it's been.
Let's turn this thing off right now.
You heard it here first.
I love flat earthers.
Hey.
You married one. Just like I married a horse girl, you married a flat earther.
I married a late girl. found her on the lake. Never looked back.
Found her on
she's,
the lake.
She's a mer girl.
Or in the lake.
In the lake.
Tommy, you almost said something about 5 or 6 times that we kept interrupting you.
I don't know. Probably it's something unnecessary. We all have multiple children here.
Yes. We're all twofers.
We're all twofers.
Two for two.
Do I sense a third?
Heck no.
You're done. You're done.
Yes. And we are done.
How do you know?
Because the procedure is 99% effective. Just kidding. But also, that if you want to get sponsored, that could also be a potential sponsor.
Sponsor.
Yeah. Yeah. Potential. Yes, we are very much so done. We have a boy, we have a girl.
That's a dream.
Got one of each, yep. And they're both fantastic. They've both made it to a year of their life, so, and we're happy about that.
Yeah.
And we just feel like for our family culture, mm-hmm. it very much so fits.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for our family budget and what I want to spend on my children, this fits.
Yes.
And to just give them the attention that we want to give them, not that you, parents of multiple children can't give them attention, but we just feel very, very strongly that we want to be like very, very involved and to the level that we're able to be involved probably speaks more to our, to us. We know that two is right.
Yeah.
You guys know what gatekeeping is?
Yes.
Like, you know, you gatekeep someone for sports or whatever it is. I think there's like this like weird group of parents who have like more than 3 kids, you know, 4 up, and they're like, you're only going to have 2 kids. and they try to gatekeep you into having more kids as if like two kids is not absolutely God's blessing. And
yes.
Also really difficult. And it's like, I don't, there's no standard for this thing.
Yeah. And there's also not a population crisis.
True. There's not, there is not a population. Well, I don't know.
The earth has been populated in that way. If anything, there's a population crisis
as no,
the
right
Dwight
now,
Schrute way where no, there's too many people.
There's in
let's
this.
Not, let's not talk about politics.
In this time in history, we've had the most people that has, this is, it's overpopulated right now. Yeah. I should just.
But Elon Musk would say the opposite.
True. I don't know that's true.
Elon Musk would say it's the exact opposite.
That we need more people.
Yes. That birth rates.
Yeah, because he's trying to create a slave army for himself. That's why he wants more people.
His argument would be that birth rates are declining at a rate that would show a population fall off. You know, China took away their one child rule. Mm. Now it's three. And their birth rate is still plummeting at a crazy rate.
True.
Mm. It's something by like 2065, there will be no new babies in China or something like that. It's like a crazy stat.
That's unbelievable.
But yeah, so if you guys could just have a couple more.
And then send them to China? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
And then send them to China. Perfect.
Yeah, what does me having a baby have to do?
Listen. China has had the one up on all of the products. Everything is made in China. Growing up, that was the thing. It was all made in China.
Yeah, yes.
Now, we're going to send humans to China that were made in America. We're going to level the playing field.
Whoa.
Made in America.
Take that.
We're going to tramp stamp all of our children, send them to China.
Not tramp stamp. We're just going to put that shiny gold sticker, made in America,
made
on
in
the
US
bottom of their foot.
Of Perfect. No, two feels good for us. And sorry, Elon, but we're going to stop there.
Yeah, I think a two for us. What about you, Tom?
Dude, I think we've toyed around with the idea of like maybe a third, you know, maybe a fourth. I don't know.
Tommy.
Now, listen, that was, I don't know, man. Like the only reason why I feel like that is because I have two other siblings, mm-hmm. a younger brother and a younger sister. And I would have always loved to have one more in the mix.
Shout out to Ricky and
Amy. And so, I loved both of them, but I just felt like someone's always feeling left out of something.
When there's three.
And I know for a fact
when there's two, it's hard. I mean, look, Grayson's 3 years younger than River.
Yeah.
He's already feeling like.
He's feeling it.
I want to go to school. I'm like, dude, you're two.
Yeah.
Can't.
But, dude, it's.
No, you don't.
But the reality of having, like, that many kids here. I only know very, very few people that can do this. Mm. And one
in
of
Los
them
Angeles
is.
Especially.
In Los Angeles, especially, is Peter and Becky, right?
Well, because. Or that's
their machine.
Gonna, yeah, are we going to say they live in Los Angeles?
Exactly.
They live close to Los Angeles, but it is very much so.
Where do they live?
They live in PV. I mean,
yeah,
that's not like the East Side. That's pricey still.
Yes, yeah.
but
the lifestyle
of South Bay is different than.
But there is a real reality of like facing like, you know, all this stuff while raising kids here in Los Angeles, and I just don't know if that's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, what do we want? I know. What we want as of right now, and two feels fine.
Yeah,
like, to be honest with you, like it's hard for me to see any more kids outside of that. You know, right. Maybe in this season of my life, but I'm like, dude, I've always wanted like 3-4 kids. To be honest,
have you guys ever had a scare?
Yeah,
a pregnancy scare.
No, not a legitimate one, not one that I believed, and that doesn't say that I don't believe my wife. You should believe women, but I just didn't believe her.
Do you guys remember a staff Christmas party?
Dang.
Yes, at the dinner table when your wife told you.
Literally at the dinner table. We're having the best time.
It was so fun.
My wife goes, I'm late.
Yep.
And you guys, I had a legitimate
scare.
You never came back. I mean, your body didn't leave the table, but you never came back.
Yeah, I was.
You're gone.
I've never had a panic attack except for maybe that moment felt like.
Mm. You went
sorry,
to Pluto.
I had a panic attack. When Steph went into fake labor with River, it was like a false alarm. I had a panic attack, and we had to call Pastor Julia, and she had to like talk me back, like breathe, and you're okay, Nate, you're gonna make it. And Steph's like just laughing at me the whole time.
It's amazing.
My hands go numb. I was like shaking. But the second time, I was
you have to get the epidural, not Steph.
She didn't. I wish she would have.
No, I think when it comes to the amount of kids, I feel like I only have like 60% of a say in it. Because I'm not the one having the child. So, yeah.
Yes.
Like, I think that's something to be noted as the men is, yes, we have a say in it, but like, they have a little bit more of a say, I totally. Feel personally.
Yes.
And then whatever you, as a couple, you feel like you have peace about, that's what's going to be right.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? It's not about like, you can't look to anyone else or to anything else to decide. It's such a big deal having like, If you're going to have a human, bring a human into the world, let's make him a good human,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so we yeah. know our capacity with what we want to do with our lives. We can create two good humans and send them out into the world, and they're going to be beneficial to society, hopefully, yep. you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? You can do all the right things, and your kids could still just be...
Whatever.
They can make decisions on their own. And, like, that's the beauty and the...
Chaos.
The chaos of parenting is like you can do all the right things, which who knows what that is, right? And your yes. kids will still make a decision or do things that, you know, you don't agree with that's going to terrify you. But they're also going to make decisions that you don't agree with, and they're going to be right.
Yes.
Mm. Like that's going to be like the, you know, humble part of parenting going like, wow, like, you know, we're old now and
yeah.
the world's different and we can trust them to make decisions that we don't agree with, but they're still good, you know?
I think I've heard really, really good advice is like teach your kids methods, not destinations. Like teach yep. them how to get to wherever, whatever goal they want to get to. Don't just teach them like this is the outcome of your life. This has to be the outcome of your life. Yeah. This has to be the outcome of your finances. Yep. Like this is what your life has to look like. But teach them approaches. This is how you need to approach the concept of friendship, approach the concept of learning in school. Because, I mean, like even when school, as an example, I don't want to dictate the results of my kids' education in terms of like you have to get these. Yes, I need. Yes, there should be like good there's grades. A couple standards, but
some values,
you don't have to be an all A student. You don't have to go to this kind of college, or you don't have to go to college at all. But I do need you to approach education in this way.
Yeah.
And then wherever that ends up, whatever the outcome is of that. I kind of, you have to, like you're saying, you have to trust release it.
Yep.
You can't like micromanage like how it ends up, but I think you can teach the approach and the perspective. This is how you need to see school. So that'd be school doesn't have to be your favorite, but we try our best, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you can't just like, I don't know. School is one of those things where it's like the person that's the valedictorian straight A student, you know, it doesn't all
captain of the football team.
It doesn't mean that you're going to have the best life, right? Yeah. It doesn't ensure a better life than anyone else. Exactly. Yeah. So, but what's more valuable is you're going to try at something that maybe you don't like that much or doesn't come to you that easily, right? So I think if you can teach approaches, perspectives more than you can demand an outcome, then I think you'll set up your child for long-term success, and then you also will save yourself from ever making your child feel like they're disappointing you
right.
or like yes. they are afraid to tell you something or yep. they're afraid to do. You would set up your child so they don't have to live your life. Like, let them live their life,
right,
so,
right,
but help them live it the best that they can by not demanding it to look a certain way.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like I remember like, when we were like in obviously grade school, like our parents, I felt like they taught us destination, you know,
that's
pushed.
School. I think, I don't remember who brought it up first, but it's the whole idea of school teaches you how to memorize solutions, not solve problems.
Mm. Right.
And that's an issue in life.
Yeah.
You know, you'll forget something that you memorized just as fast as you memorized it.
Yeah.
You'll forget it faster than you memorized it, you know? But if you can teach someone how to problem solve, then they're going to create solutions for themselves versus try to find a standardized destination,
yeah.
you know, which did you guys grow up with like career pathways and stuff like that in school?
Yeah, we had all that stuff. And I remember that. Well, cause they would bring,
cause my career is thriving right now. Obviously I skipped that day. I skipped career day,
but they would bring in like certain people and they would like, you know, talk about how important your career is. And, you know, looking back on it now, I'm like, dude, like we should be teaching kids like trades, you know, and like doing different, like I wish like right now I like looking back on everything, the school system, I don't know. I'm not like an expert by any means, but I would say that like we need to teach kids how to be more hands-on with certain things and being like, all right, we teach them such a standard system.
Yeah.
And it's by the books constantly. And I think where the world is going right now, I don't know if that's always going to be beneficial.
Yeah. And other countries also do a great job of, and please, this is not an anti-America comment, but other countries do a great job of kind of testing and evaluating kids at a younger age and then determining where their makeup would have a higher percentage of success rate, like in skills or in a trade or in a career, and then kind of helping them get into those classes and those like skill sets earlier. And I think one of the issues, if anyone can be anything at any time, like, I'm not making any statements here, but one of like something that can be a downfall of that is like, well, some people just aren't going to be mathematicians. They're just not going to be, chefs. They're not going to be artists. That's not how they were made. That's not their makeup. And so I think one of the things as a parent is helping your child identify what comes easily to them, what gifts are natural to them. And I don't think it's a limiting thing.
No.
Because you're not taking anything off the table.
No. Yeah.
You're not saying that you can't do this or you shouldn't have fun over here or you whatever. You're not saying that nothing, it's all impossible, but it's really helping them figure out, okay, what comes easily to you and what has God given you? Like what DNA, what mind, creativity? And then helping you formulate a path to figure out like, okay, what can you actually do with that? From an early
age.
That's
really good.
And not waiting until like you're one semester in college and all of a sudden you realize.
Change your major and then change it again.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's why I didn't go to college.
When we were college age, I think for all of us that was around 10 years ago, it was like something like the average major was changed 3 times in the course of someone's college career.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Think about the amount of money that's been wasted.
It's insane. Wasted.
Thanks,
wasted.
Biden, for your college tuition debt
forgiveness thing. Whatever it was.
They bumped that up for another 100K, and let's make it work.
Let's make it work.
Isn't it interesting to see the devaluing of traditional education through social media?
It's crazy.
Guys like Gary Vee, who promotes entrepreneurial thinking. Mm. The whole point that we were sold for extra education, or post high school education was that you're going to make more money.
Yeah, that right?
It gets you a better job. That's just not the case unless you're into a skill based or a trade based, a career. But for example, we live in Los Angeles and people with degrees are losing jobs to people with portfolios.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Straight up, if you got the hustle, the grind, you can learn now. We're no longer in the age of information. We're in the age of curation. So people have taken that information and made it work for them to get them their next thing. Like, that's just where we're at. And I'm curious to see the next, when our kids are going to school.
Yeah, how old are your kids right now? Like?
Six and one.
River turns 6 in 3 weeks.
Dude, in 12 years, by the time they're done, dude,
who knows?
What are colleges going to... Yeah, I mean, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
We know that, But I think... Do you have a degree?
I have an associate's degree equivalent is what I put on my resume recently.
Yes.
You have a degree.
Yep.
Are you using it?
No, I'm not.
I don't have a degree.
But all that to say is that, what is that... That's somebody, right?
That's a child or a raccoon.
You guys, this is the Dad's Tribe podcast. My children are knocking at our studio called the garage door.
Dude, I was actually kind of freaking out for a hot second.
I was freaking out.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that?
Do you need your sword?
I don't know if that's a kid, you guys.
That's a kid. It's too rhythmic.
Yeah.
That's too rhythmic. A raccoon can knock, but they can't.
Okay, this might be a good time for us to wrap up the podcast. And we love you guys. Thank you for your comments, your reviews.
Should we just do it proper?
I haven't pitched my book yet. When do I get to do that? Is that at the end?
Okay, this camera.
You have 30 seconds. Tell them what you're working on.
Yes. Yeah, but you could probably hear in the background, our children are trying to knock down the door to get into this podcast. It's 6:30 in the morning, so praise God for that.
Praise.
Let's go. Guys so much. Should we hit the button?
Hey, that's just Dads Who Try, dog. That's just Dads Who Try. Team No Sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.